Hello, and welcome back to Seasons of Life on 101.9 CITR FM Vancouver, broadcasting from the traditional, ancestral, and unceded territory of the Hukkamelem-speaking Musqueam people and the UBC campus. Hello, welcome back. As you just heard, you're listening to Seasons of Life on 101.9 CITR FM Vancouver. I'm your host, Sean Rufos. That was a bit enunciated with my lovely and amazing next guest this week. Can you introduce yourself?
Hi, my name's Claire Wilcox. Thank you for having me, Sean.
Yeah, well, thank you for coming on. I think we should probably start off with, like, that obvious question of how do we know each other?
How do we know each other? Mutual friends. We've grown up together in a small town, and everyone kind of knows each other. We have a lovely friend named Gabrielle, who, through her, we became friends and got to know each other.
I don't know how, like, it's not, like, obsessively small compared to some places, but it definitely has that farm town vibe, but driving around at night listening to music with you has always been some of my fondest memories, so I'm so excited. I asked you to compile some songs from a season in your life. What season did you choose, and kind of how'd you take this prompt?
When I was picking my songs, was picking each one with a different part of my life in mind, or like a different chapter of my life or a different season. A little bit different from what I think the intention of the podcast is, but
I will add, it is actually not that much different. The whole intention is basically just like talking about people's seasons of life and things that they experience. So I think it's perfectly fine. Did your music taste grow with you or change with you as well?
A couple of these songs have been around for me since I would say maybe I was like 14, 15. So some of them aren't new. Some of them, my music taste, I would say, has changed. I'd say I've just become a lot more open with my tastes. I think I used to really want to impress people with what I listen to. And now I don't really care so much. It's definitely a lot more just about finding something that makes me feel good or makes me feel something and listening to it shamelessly.
Oh, the joys of growing up and not giving a shit.
Right.
So our first song is by the lovely duo Simon and Garfunkel with the song Overs.
Why don't we stop fooling ourselves? The game is over, over, over. No good times, no bad times. There's no times at all, just the New York Times. Sitting on the windowsill near the flowers. We might as well be apart. Hardly matters, we sleep separately. And drop a smile passing in the hall. But there's no laughs left, 'cause we laughed them all. And we laughed them all in a very short time. Delay. We're just a habit like saccharin. And I'm habitually feeling kind of blue. But each time I try on the the thought of leaving you, I stop. Stop and think it over.
So that was Overs by Simon and Garfunkel, which just so good. So good. You can never go wrong with those two. So why did you decide that to make or decide to make that your first song?
I wish I could say I had some really profound connection to it, that it really represented a certain relationship in my life. But I honestly just started listening to this song when I was younger because my mom loved Simon and Garfunkel, and she would always play the Bookends album. And it definitely got me hooked onto them when I was younger. And I've always listened to them, and this song particularly stood out to me. But in my most recent relationship that's now ended, I definitely always think so much about that one lyric, which is, no good times, no bad times, it's just the New York Times. I think it's just such a concise and simple way of describing such like a complex feeling of, I don't love this person and there's nothing exciting anymore, but I still care for them. It's not bad. It's just not what it used to be. We're just going to sit here together and read our papers and be together in silence. Like that fizzling of a relationship.
Did you find yourself viewing the lyrics differently and getting a more in-depth relationship with them?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of Simon and Garfunkel's lyrics and songs are about romantic relationships, and I've been in one romantic relationship in my entire life, and that was only recently in this past year. And so it definitely was interesting to start listening to these very like beautiful romantic songs or songs about falling out of love, now having my own experiences with that. And it felt like they were able to describe the things that I wasn't able to describe and help me to kind of understand where I was in my own relationship. And I remembered listening to this song, and I realized when I was listening to it that I perceived, the way I perceived their singing that song is that the relationships they were in needed to end. And therefore the relationship that I was in needed to end because I related far too much to that song. So it really helped me to make some decisions in my life and move forward.
I have always liked art for that very thing. It's like you see what you need to see at that time, whether it's almost a form of palm reading. It's like you're told the things and you make what you need to make out of them and get out of them in that moment. And that's the craziest thing I think about using music to get through these speed bumps and stuff through life, is that it really helps either bring you forward or settle you down, stuff along those lines. I don't know if you feel the same way.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. I think art in whatever medium it is, whether it's music or something physical and tangible or visual, can really help you to comprehend your own feelings.
Well, what better way to kind of add to that than to listen to our next song by Arcade Fire, Canadian band. I believe they're from Montreal, with The Suburbs. Arguably, in my view, one of the best songs by them. Great
Absolutely.
Choice. Yeah, so we'll start that off now. Perfect. And talk about it very shortly. So here's The Suburbs by Arcade Fire.
Thank you.
Welcome back. That was The Suburbs by Canadian band Arcade Fire. Please stay tuned. We just have a quick break, and we'll be right back to talking with the lovely Claire.
Red Cap Records is an amazing artist-owned and operated record store. Shop from their diverse online music collection and get free shipping within Vancouver and the Lower Mainland with the purchase of two or more LPs. If you would like to further support them through the evolving COVID-19 crisis, you can do so by buying a gift card to use at a later date. Visit www.redcat.ca for more information.
You reminded me about what the most important thing in life is. Do you know what I think it is? Friends.
Here at CITR, friends are really important to us, and when you become a member at CITR, our friends are your friends. So join CITR today and get discounts at The Australian Boot Company, Devil May Wear, East Vanity Parlor, The Bike Kitchen, Virtuous Pie UBC, and Save On Meats. And those are but a few. For more information and a complete list, visit citr.ca/friends.
Keen to repeat a lazy remark.
Okay, so I don't know why I did like an elf voice.
So maybe go over with us what particular time in your life defines this particular song as well.
Okay, so I first heard The Suburbs, I think I want to say it was when the album came out and they won the best, it was like the Juno or whatever, best Canadian album of the year, something. I watched them perform, and they performed this song, and I loved it. And later that year, such like a middle school memory, but my family went on a vacation, and I had my little iPod, what was the little square one, Sean?
The Shuffle?
The Shuffle. And I bought on iTunes for $1.29 this song. And I listened to it on repeat for the whole vacation. So I don't know how I'm not sick of it yet. But I love this song because I think it was the first song I ever related to or understood. And I think Sean probably, you can as well, growing up in the same suburbs.
Yeah, that urban sprawl that a lot of people, I don't think, in Vancouver fully understand. What it's like, it sounds so petty, but what it's like to walk 30 minutes to get to a Save On Foods or like a grocery store of any sort, or like
30 minutes. Mine was an hour.
Yeah, yours was much longer. Through the younger parts of my life, the closest thing was a gas station in Castle Fun Park.
Oh, yeah.
So we love it, but
definitely it would be like a 45-minute walk to go get a slushie in the summer. That was the big deal.
Yeah, and when we were kids, you'd like be slog. I had to climb literally a mountain to get back home. So yeah, this is like, it's so much. I mean, you were talking too about kind of, you know, the suburbs kind of relating to your life now too.
Yeah. So all that other stuff is, I guess, the more surface level interpretation of it. But I think on another end, my connection to this song is that I've grown up in a small town my whole life. I go to university here. I still live with my parents in the same house I've grown up in. And I think it's a wonderful place to live depending on what you want. But I truly have just come to a point where I'm beginning to feel like it's just not anywhere for me to grow. You know, like a goldfish. God, this is so cliche, so cheesy, but you know, a goldfish only grows to the bowl that you put them in. And so I feel like I can only do so much here. I love art and I love music. And the more I get to experience it out in Vancouver, the more I want to go out there just so I can be more surrounded by that. And I realize in the grand scheme of things, Vancouver even is a small town compared to other cities in the world. But I'd love to go there, and I'd love to be with people who I think I could create with and see their perspectives. It's just not something that exists in Abbotsford, and the small town, it just kind of feels like a dead end eventually, I guess.
Yeah, she needs to fly the coop. Or is that what the saying is?
Fly the coop?
Fly the coop.
Yeah.
Flow the coop. She flew the coop.
She flew the coop.
Baby. But yeah. Also, I just want to quickly say that feeling of having that iPod Shuffle. I mean, I had this knockoff one from China. I forget what it was called. But just listening to the same song over and over and not getting bored of it.
Right.
And people like literally like using vinyl and like till it's you can't.
I remember
listen to it anymore.
Three songs that I bought for that vacation. I think were that song, "Lights" by Ellie Goulding. And The Cave by Mumford & Sons. I was the biggest Mumford & Sons fan. I loved them so much.
Do you still listen to them?
I think I feel a bit embarrassed after my whole rant in the beginning about how I don't care what people think anymore. I feel like it's just a bit too, like, you know that meme that's going around, like the Say Geronimo song?
Yeah. Same vibe.
Yeah, same vibe. I feel like if I were just to listen to Mumford & Sons, it might say something about me.
You'd be like those people in Abbotsford with those felt hats and Blundstones.
Oh, the Abbotsford Christian hipsters. It is such a breed of person. Vancouver doesn't even know.
Okay, when you go to Abbotsford, there are these people who have escaped your city, right? And they have these felt hats and they're brown. Don't come after me, hipsters. Like, I know you exist. I know you're out there. Maybe you're listening. I love you. But you are a type of person. They all drink at Old Hand, that coffee
Old
shop.
Old Hand and Field House.
Oh.
And then they go to whatever, like, trendy Pentecostal church after.
Can we go to a trendy Pentecostal church? I went to the Catholic church, which was a lot less trendy. Yeah, just a lot of nice old ladies there. So we're on to Brave as a Noun by AJJ. So we'll listen to that, and then we'll get your thoughts on that as well. So here's Brave as a Noun by AJJ.
I could go off the deep end. I could kill all my best friends. I could follow those stylish trends. And God knows I could make a mess.
So that was Brave as a Noun by AJJ. Now, Claire, please tell us. I mean, it's kind of on those, like, anti-folk kind of waves.
I recently learned that, like, folk punk and anti-folk, and I think it was also called cow punk, are, like, all the same kind of genre.
I like cow punk.
Should we do a little ASMR?
Cow punk. Anyways, tell me more.
So AJJ, I don't recall how I found them, how I stumbled across them. I remember I found this album in my, grade 12 year in high school, listened to it religiously. I'm not usually much of an album listener, which pisses off my music friends because I never listen to albums from front to back. I just know like songs that I like. But this album in particular, I listened to because it goes so well. It goes so well together, and it's not boring. It's very upbeat. And this song, Brave as a Noun, it's kind of angry, but then there's just this last couple lyrics. In this life we lead, we can conquer everything if we just get the braves to get out of bed in the morning. Not addressing the, I could go off the deep end and kill all my best friends because I don't want anyone to think that I really related to that at any point in my life. So it's definitely more the last one. And I think that what I like about these songs is the pace and the beat is like deceivingly happy. I think I just love like the mind. Oh, can we curse on your show?
Yeah, it's Watershed Hours.
Oh, okay, perfect. I just love like the mind fuck of like the contrast between the lyrics and like the folky upbeat.
Mm-hmm.
music.
And that's a lot of anti-folk, I think. I think the whole mm-hmm. point is to make fun of these, like, pseudo-deep lyrics. So if you look at, yeah. listen to, like, the Moldy Peaches or anyone like that.
Love the Moldy Peaches.
Yeah, but they have one called Downloading Porn with Devo on one of their albums, genuinely making fun of folk people, which is great.
AJJ also has a song called Daddy, and it's just, like, this brutal song about, like, child abuse. And yet the lyrics are just so, or the beat is so deceiving that if you listen to it, you could be bopping your head and then you stop and you're like, oh my God, I shouldn't be enjoying this the way that I am.
I do think introducing people to anti-folk, I think, is important.
Okay. Sounds good. I think it is an endeavor that needs to be done.
It needs to be undertaken, I will say. So thank you, Claire, for that lovely introduction to anti-folk with Brave as a Noun. What else is it called?
Cowpunk.
Cowpunk. You're listening to Seasons of Life on 101.9 CITR FM Vancouver. And the next song is...
Dazita by Mulatu Astatke.
Thank you. Without the help and support of our friends, we here at CITR wouldn't be able to bring you all the great music, art, cinema, and culture that you love. Thanks to the long-standing support from the Rio Theater, we are able to keep you informed on all the great artists, films, and everything else coming to town there. For all the current information about who and what's playing at the Rio Theater, visit their website at www.riotheater.ca.
Hey yo, Crimes and Treasons, every single Tuesday, 8 to 10 p.m. on CITR 101.9 FM.
So, welcome back after that short commercial break. I hope you enjoyed the hand-selected promos and ads and everything you need to get you through this lovely radio show here on CITR from 10 to 11. I don't know why I'm telling you so much information because you're here and you already know it, but anyways, welcome back. Claire, that was Hi. That was a lovely song, I have to say.
Isn't that wonderful? I don't have such a good ASMR voice. Perfect.
Phenomenal.
Okay. So tell me more about this song.
My memory or my season of life with this song. I remember being with my ex-partner. Not my ex at the time, but my partner. And just this really wonderful day that we spent together. And we went to a record shop on the drive. And it was snowing and it was cold outside. And then we got into this record store and the song was playing. It's the first time I heard it. And I hadn't really gotten into Ethiopian jazz before. And it's a genre I'm now starting to explore because I think there's just something very special and warm about this song. Like, I just think of warmth because I remember it was so cold outside. And then we stepped into this shop. And the song was playing, and we weren't cold anymore, and we picked out a record for each other and bought it, and it is just a really special memory. I'm not in that relationship anymore, you know, but I still hold that moment in this song pretty dear to me.
So do you attach the feelings of that moment and that relationship to this song?
Yeah, definitely. This song reminds me of all the good times I had in my relationship.
So is it challenging to listen to for you?
No, not at all, actually. I definitely have been having a hard time thinking about my past relationship lately. I had the misfortune of dating a musician, which means that he just released a song about me.
The honor.
That was a little mean. So that's been a bit raw lately.
And sometimes it's good raw, I mean.
Oh, God. Yeah, exactly. Speak your truth, honey.
Thanks, Claire. No, but I heard the song. I was listening to it in the shower and texted you.
Did you listen to it?
Yeah, in the shower.
Keep it on the low?
Yeah, and I texted you, like, F him. Wait, I should be able to swear on this show. It's my show. Fuck him.
You know what?
Sorry, Grandma.
Honestly. It stung a bit to hear, but does that make me resent every good moment I had with him? No. Mm-hmm. I absolutely loved him, and I even still have a hard time knowing that I'm never going to see him again. But at the end of the day, I ended that relationship to do what I thought was, and I still think is healthiest for me at the time. And I'm always going to have that memory and many others, and listening to that song doesn't hurt me. It just makes me think of a good time I had with someone who I cared about.
Mm-hmm. I think that's the most probably mature and probably the most healthy way of looking at it, because I think if you found resentment in the song, it would take away all the good attributes of that song. And it has a very Charlie Brown-esque feel as well, so you can't help but feel kind of warm.
It instills this feeling of nostalgia, which I think the Charlie Brown song that you're thinking of absolutely instills as well. And I feel like not only do I think about that one moment, I think about like every good moment with him.
Totally.
When I hear that song.
Yeah, I could see that. Well, on that note, I mean, we'll go on to Joni Mitchell now.
Oof, Joni.
One of the best Canadian singers, period.
I was going to say, did you hear about, I think just recently, someone was going through all of their dad's belongings. He used to be like a producer, and they found all of these unreleased tapes that Joni Mitchell recorded with him in like the 70s, I want to say, like boxes of unreleased music. So I think that they're planning on releasing some of those tapes.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, I wonder if she'd be okay with releasing them, because I was talking to a guy at this guy that owned a art store. I mean, it was a gallery. He was trying to sell me a painting. Anyways, he was like, "Oh yeah, all these artists, they have these unreleased paintings underneath their other paintings, blah blah blah, and everyone's curious about them." But he's like, they never wanted people to see those paintings in the first place. Like, the artists will throw things out because they don't want it. So I'm interested to know if she didn't release them because she just didn't want to. It wasn't to her, you know, caliber or what.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, or if that guy just forgot about them or didn't think she was a big star at the time. Or
how could anyone underestimate her? Anyways, this is Both Sides Now by Joni Mitchell.
And flows of angel hair and ice cream castles in the air and feather canyons everywhere. I've looked at clouds that weave, but now they only block the sun. They rain and snow on. Life's illusion.
So welcome back. That was Joni Mitchell's Both Sides Now. So I actually put the wrong one, same name, but wrong one in the playlist. So Claire was giving me some information on why she has two different ones or what the significance is. And could you share that with us?
Oh, yeah. Okay. So the one that we just listened to is the original version, which is very much, it's more representative of the Joni Mitchell we all know and love. And there's actually another version that came out in 2001, and it's very different. It's very slow, orchestral. It's got a very different feeling to it. It's a lot more heavy. The version that we just listened to, I feel, is more important for me in my own life because the lyrics for Both Sides Now talk about, I've looked at love from both sides now. I've looked at life. So seeing the good and the amazing parts of like love, and then seeing the not so good and the darker and the more hurtful parts. And for me, this song definitely had a lot to do with my relationship with sex and intimacy, and the Both Sides Now part being when I was 19, I lost my virginity to sexual assault, and my relationship with sex from then on was very skewed. And I was quite risky with my behavior, and I sought out a lot of partners to kind of normalize my first experience. And I think in that time, my perspective of sex and intimacy was very dark. Whereas now that I've done some introspection and I've gone to therapy and I've had, some proper relationships and proper healthy communicative relationships and sexual partners, I've been able to see it a lot more as an empowering part of life, and it's something meant for like pleasure and trust and enjoyment from both sides. And so I think that that song for me has been really interesting and representative of like my own journey with like love and intimacy and sex.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I completely could understand that, and thank you for sharing. How did you find that music kind of brought you through that period in your life? Because I remember that period in your life, and it wasn't necessarily the most, joyful period of your life. How did you use music to kind of get through it, or what did you do with music, or how did you engage with music?
Music, to me, has always just been the best distraction. Whether or not it was sad music because I felt sad or happy music because I wanted to be happy, I just loved listening to music because I've always been a daydreamer. I've always had my mind wander. So whenever I just didn't want to think about it, I would just listen to music. I mean, some songs like this one and other ones would, maybe make me think about what happened and help me process it. For the most part, my relationship with music in that period of time was just a method of bringing me happiness and allowing me to think about other things.
Yeah, and I think this goes back to even, I believe, the first song that you were talking about, how some artists can put to words the emotions that you've never been able to put to words, or that are just floating around within you. And when you hear someone finally put it to words, you say, oh, that makes sense. That's me. I see myself in this artist's song or in that music. So I don't know if it is the fact that we grew up with this type of music that makes it feel so much more intimate as well. Mm-hmm. But sometimes
that's a good word for it.
Yeah. They're very intimate and emotional, I think, in that sense too.
I'm gonna say definitely, I think you and me both are big fans of the 60s, 70s folk. There's something warm about them.
Yeah, it's really nice and calming. Mm-hmm. So we'll go on to Avril 14th, or should I say that in French? No, I won't. What is that in French?
my 10th grade French teacher is rolling over. Well, she's not dead. I was about to say rolling over in her grave. She's rolling around in her rolly chair at school right now hearing me.
I'm rolling around in my rolly chair, and I'm not even unhappy. So could you imagine? She must be like just off the walls in her rolly chair. Okay, we're probably going to cut out that bad French.
All of this out.
We're just going to cut the whole interview.
Whole podcast is gone. It's just a playlist.
Ciao. This is like the extended cut. We'll only put it on the blog and no one will listen to it except for us. Anyways, this is Avril 14th on Seasons of Life. That was Avril 14th by Aphex Twin. I'm sorry, I can't speak French, so you're going to get 14th. No French here. Anyways, so can you tell us why or how you found this? Yeah,
there's not a very special way to how I found it. When I like to study or do schoolwork, I listen to music on YouTube, because there's a lot of good like study music where it'll be like one song slowed times 10%, 3 hour loop or whatever. And then through that I found a lot of Aphex Twin stuff. For anyone who's familiar with Aphex Twin, this one song in particular is not representative of the rest of their music at all. Or the artist, I think, is under the genre intelligent dance music, or IDM, which I think is a super pretentious name. But
what's unintelligent dance music?
Who decides that? Like, I think intelligent dance music is just dance music that actually sounds bad unless you're pretentious enough to enjoy it, which I
am. Anyways, back to is it Aphex Twin?
A lot of people will be familiar with this song because Kanye West sampled it, but I don't know what he used it in, which song in particular. I found it on one of my YouTube deep dives listening to music and studying, and it quickly became like the soundtrack of my life. There's just something about this song that it just like it fills like every pore in my body, you know, when I listen to it. And when I was sad, I listened to it after my assault. I listened to it a lot. When I was happy, the song sounded happy to me. When I was sad, it sounded sad. And when I was hopeful, it sounded hopeful. I just feel like it's this magical song that fit whatever I needed it to do for me.
Yeah, almost like a blank canvas, but a very expensive and good blank canvas. And you have your own paints that you're painting on. So beautiful, I will say. And it's interesting that you put it right after Both Sides Now by Joni Mitchell, because it seems like it's almost this rebirth of healing and grieving, mm-hmm. and going through that trauma, which I feel like is something that's commendable, but also something that, again, music really helps with.
Yeah, this song, I think that for you to say rebirth is like a completely appropriate word for it, because truly, yeah, it's this, that ending last 20 seconds in particular feels so hopeful when I listen to it. It really does feel like, okay, something happened that was hard to get through, and it wasn't a very great or pleasant moment, but there's far better things to come. It's probably super cheesy, but that's just how this song makes me feel.
Mm-hmm. It's not even that cheesy though, because I think we all need to keep an eye on the light at the end of the tunnel. I mean, growth always sounds so nice, but in reality, I'm not a psychologist or anything, but personally, growth has been some of the hardest experiences have made me grow the most. So I don't know if you feel the same way, but it is nice to have music that shows you that, there's something out there, you know?
Yeah, growth hurts, but it's very worth it.
Yeah, just like everything else, it seems to hurt. Yeah. Love, anything else. All the matters of the heart, people. Yeah. Don't fall in love. Actually, I do fall in love. It's nice.
Honestly, this like apprehension from people to fall in love, like I understand how trauma can make you guard your heart, but there's just been these men who they just tell me, I just don't want to be hurt again. I'm not, you know, I like you, but I can't be with you because it'll hurt too much if it ends. Well, you never even gave it a chance to begin, you know? Why are we so afraid to, like, hurt a little bit?
Yeah, and that's probably the worst way to justify not dating someone is this idea that, like, I don't want to date you because it might be good.
Yeah, it's this very, like, self-punitive kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Let yourself enjoy life. If you get hurt, that's just a part of life. We're in our 20s, people. Like,
fuck yeah, Claire. Let love hurt. Anyways, okay, we're on to Impossible Soul by Sufjan Stevens.
This song is 25 minutes long, so I think what our plan was to have you guys hear 20 seconds from each part.
Yeah, that sounds about right. So we'll just play the five parts and get right back with some more conversation with our lovely friend Claire.
Woman, tell me what you want, and I'll calm down. Without leaning out, with a broken heart that you stabbed for an hour.
So, welcome back to Seasons of Life. You just listened to Claire's four sections of Impossible Soul by Sufjan Stevens. Five sections, my bad, sorry. So can you explain this, first off, why you picked those sections and also how it applies to a season in your life?
Yeah, for sure. Okay, so each five parts can kind of be associated with like the five stages of grief, and the song is about like the loss of a relationship. I just think it's so amazing and so creative in this part. I know everyone probably talks about breakups as being stages in their life. I know I've talked about my relationship quite a bit, but I think it's this really representative lyrics of what a relationship ending and like the process of being totally in love to like being in denial that you're falling out of love, and then the anger and then breaking up. It was just this very like all-encompassing song that just described every feeling and every emotion I had about this one part of my life.
Yeah, I mean, I could totally see that. And did you find, though, that it was something that you applied to your life after or during?
Yeah, I definitely listened to this song a lot, like, during my relationship. And I didn't really see it as being anything I could relate to at first until, you know, I started to question if this relationship was going to work out. And then this song, I definitely started to like analyze the lyrics a bit more and see it as being something for.
It's interesting to see that also that common trend in a lot of the other songs that you have in the past too, of like in the moment, it's a beautiful song. But then after you start experiencing the things that the artists had experienced, it's a lot easier to apply that to your life and say, maybe it's not working out so well.
Yeah, definitely. And I just like, I love part four, which is just like the super upbeat. It's got the choir going with them, and it's so upbeat and fun. And it reminded me of like this time in my life where I was just like trying to convince myself to make it work. Like the lyrics in this one are, boy, we can do so much more together. We got to get it right. We can do so much more together. It's not impossible. I told myself that in different words, but you know, oh, you're comfortable. You can do so much if you're with this person. You can have all these experiences if you're with this person. When you end things, you won't get to do these things anymore. And it was definitely this stage of trying to bargain with myself.
Which is never an easy task, to bargain with yourself, because you're always going to out-bargain yourself.
Yeah, definitely.
Until the end, and you start whittling yourself down. And then we're moving on to your finale song, which I actually cried listening to this next song. So you'll need to maybe tell everyone about the significance to you.
Yeah, from the very first moment I heard it, I just knew it was going to be like a special song for the rest of my life, the way it made me feel. And the lyrics especially, I definitely do put a lot of value on lyrics. And I think they definitely contribute to the overall impression a song gives me. This song has just like followed me throughout every single moment in my life. And I think the one part that really sticks out to me is the final line in the song, which is, and there's nothing that you can do about it now. Which I think when I say it to you probably sounds like it's quite a miserable or cynical or pessimistic thing to say, but within the context of the song and the rest of the lyrics, it's the most like freeing and reassuring thing I've ever heard. The whole song is about tragedies and misfortune happening in life, but I think it's the best thing in the world just to hear there's nothing that you can do about it. You don't have to spend your life trying to fix everything that's gone wrong or wondering why these things happen to you, but rather you have like the rest of your life to move forward and accept what's happened and learn from it and figure things out.
It reminds me of Slaughterhouse-Five, which is a book. This guy has experienced the worst possible scenarios of his entire life, and at the end he just says, so it goes. So it goes. It's just life, you know?
Yeah. 100%. Definitely.
On that note, I hope that you are all staying safe. Obviously, with everything going on right now, I don't know, Claire, if you've used this during the current kind of pandemic and situation in the world, but I know personally it's just, you know, sometimes so it goes. You know? We're living through it, and you can wear masks. You can stay home. Keep everyone safe.
Yes. Yeah. I'm going to guilt trip you guys. I'm an emergency nurse, and I also used to work as an aide on our COVID unit, and the hospitals are starting to fill up again, and there's cases in the community, and yeah, please be safe.
On that note, have an excellent night. This is Blood by the Middle East.
Hold it, brother, rest my soul, lie down. Life for a while when you hear against the earth, and you hear your sister sleep talking, say your hair is long but not long enough to reach her to me. But your beard someday might be, and she woke up in a cold. cold sweat on the floor, next to a fairy portrait drawn when you were four, and beside a jar of 2 cent coins that I'll never get no more. She lay aside. Back to the home you made on the mountain side, with that only terrible thing, those papers for the walls and a lonely ring, a lonely ring. Sit on your porch and pluck your strings. Oh, and you'll find somebody you can play. And you'll follow the creek that runs out into the sea.